How can we live lives that are rich, meaningful, and true to our deepest selves? Author Bridget Delaney set out on a year-long journey to unravel this fundamental question, guided by the wisdom of the Stoics, the ancient Greek and Roman philosophers whose approach to life is enjoying a modern revival. Bridget, who writes a popular column for The Guardian, has written a book called Reasons Not to Worry: How to Be Stoic in Chaotic Times. In it, she juxtaposes her own spontaneous, often chaotic approach to life with the Stoics' emphasis on logic and acceptance of what we cannot control. Here she is to share five of her key insights.
Hi, my name is Bridget Delaney, and I'm the author of Reasons Not to Worry: How to Be Stoic in Chaotic Times. And this is my fourth book, and it's being published by Harper Perennial, which is super exciting. So before I tell you a bit about some of the things I learned from writing this book, I'll tell you a bit about how I came to Stoicism. I'm not an academic. I don't have a background in philosophy. I'm just a fairly sort of average person battling the normal things that people battle: cost of living, balancing work and outside life, trying to be healthy, trying to be good, trying to be a good friend, a good person in the world, to sort of leave some sort of mark that's positive in my time here, to also work out, like, what is our place in the natural world? Is there a God? All that sort of stuff. So I've always had these sort of questions, turning around in my head ever since I was really young, and became a journalist because that allowed me to ask questions of experts and get answers. And so a lot of my other books have been, around interviewing people or pursuing some sort of journalistic mission. With this book, I thought, could the answers to the problems that we face today, so things like the pandemic, environmental destruction, struggling with FOMO, struggling with technology and what people say about us on the internet, could any of this be resolved by applying ancient Greek and Roman Stoicism? And my book, Reasons Not to Worry, tries to answer that question. I started getting interested in Stoicism around 2018. I wrote a piece on it for The Guardian, trying out a thing called Stoic Week. Didn't take it too seriously. And then I realized that if I did actually apply Stoicism, I might actually get some results. So the following year, I did Stoic Week again, and this time really sort of lent into a lot of the texts. So that there was kind of a lot of the texts that survive in Stoicism are the Roman Stoics, so Epictetus, Marcus Aurelius, who I'm sure you've all heard of, and his famous book Meditations, and Seneca, who was a brilliant playwright, also a statesman, advisor to Nero, etc. So 2019, I started really getting into Stoicism. I had a friend who was also into it, and we would take long walks and talk about what was going on in our lives, and then we would see if we could apply Stoicism to what was happening for us at the time. So I remember one thing that I was going through was I applied for a pay rise and didn't get it, and was furious and was saying to my friend, I'm going to quit. This is terrible. I deserve more money. And he said, well, look, let's apply Stoicism to this. And the Stoics believe that there's only a few things within your control, and getting a pay rise isn't one of them. So the few things within your control are basically your actions and your reactions, your character, and how you treat other people. And all else is either only in your partial control or not in your control at all. So as my boss was awarding the pay rise, I didn't have control over whether I would get it, but I did have control as to whether I could do the best work possible to try and, encourage them to give me a pay rise. So Stoicism was able to settle me down in that example. It was able to make me realize that I couldn't control someone else's actions around my pay. I could leave and try and find another job. I could try and persuade my boss. There's a few things I could have done, but actually getting a pay rise in that circumstance, not within my control. And so the stoicism, when it's applied in those situations, basically stops you from worrying and stressing about things you can't control. And I, that was one of the kind of real joys of applying stoicism. It was like, okay, I can't control this. I'm just going to move on to the next thing, the next problem, the next bit of life that I'm grappling with. And that's why my book is called Reasons Not to Worry, because, you know, there are many reasons not to worry, and why should we spend our short time on earth worrying? Anyway, 2019 became 2020, and then, of course, the pandemic. And you may be able to tell from my accent that I'm Australian, and, of course, Australia was affected. You know, it was affected in each country was affected in different ways, but Australia didn't have much of the virus around for quite a while because it shut its borders and it had some quite severe lockdowns and stay-at-home orders, which meant that once again I was really relying on stoicism to get me through a period of time where I didn't feel there was much in my control. So, you know, I started writing the book then, and it took a couple of years. And let me tell you how I applied it to my own life and what you guys, you readers out there, can get out of it. Okay, so firstly, what is Stoicism? It is an ancient philosophy that started in Athens around 350 BC and continued into the Christian era, but then sort of petered out with the rise of Christianity. And it has enjoyed a resurgence in recent years with, you know, there's a lot of Silicon Valley bros and others who have really embraced Stoicism. There's not as many female writers, and I think it's kind of a genderless philosophy in many ways. It's certainly helped me as a woman. I don't think it's particularly for men only or particularly masculine. So it can be applied to anyone with a rational brain, as the Stoics would say, a rational mind. Okay, so the lessons. I touched on this earlier, but the main tenet or cornerstone of Stoicism is this thing called the control test. So it's to work out what is in your control. And this is found in a text called the Enchiridion, which is based on a series of lectures by Epictetus, a famous Roman Stoic who used to be a slave and then was freed and taught Stoicism. So his sense of the control test comes from a place of really having no agency for a large part of his life. He was also the son of a slave. But he could control his, he could control his character, and that is what a lot of his writings emphasize. So Epictetus wrote in his handbook, which was published in 125 CE, "Within our power are opinion, motivation, desire, aversion, and in a word, whatever is our own doing. Not within our power are our body, our property, reputation, office, and in a word, what is not of our own doing." So essentially I take that to mean our field of control consists of our actions and reactions, our desires, our character, and how we treat others. The rest, including our bodies, the actions of others, our reputation and our fortunes, personal and financial, are out of our control. There's a few contentious things with this, and I do talk about this in the book, about how things like, is desire really within our control? I'm sure all of us have felt that at some point desire has felt completely out of control. And things like hormones and the unconscious and trauma and, things that we, patterns we inherit ancestrally. Like, these are all things that, hadn't necessarily been studied around the time of Stoicism. And so, that sort of stuff that does affect desire, that does affect action, isn't in classical Stoicism. However, a lot of what they do say makes sense. You know, they You know, definitely our characters are within our control. You know, we do have agency to stop, think, act differently, react differently, slow things down. And a lot of Stoic text talks about how you can control things like anger, for example. And Seneca's great on that. The second thing that's in my book that I really took from Stoicism is that you don't need to judge everything. And we make judgments really quickly, often without adequate information. Sometimes when no judgment is not needed at all. And so much of what we label good or bad is actually neutral. But our judgments are powerful and they dictate to a large extent how we respond. So an example I've got in my book of this is that I may apply for a rental property, a lease that I really want, have my heart set on it, have furnished it in my brain, and then I miss out. And so I say, this is bad. This is a bad situation. I react. I get upset. I lose my tranquility. But is it actually bad if the following week a much better place comes on the market and I'm successful in getting that? So the thing that we thought was bad actually works out for us. And, the Stoics were really good at stepping back. Marcus Aurelius, I think it was, called it the view from above. So, rather than getting caught up in the emotion of a rejection or not getting our own way, we step back, we take a longer view. And when we take that longer view, we see that a lot of things that did upset us in the past actually weren't the end of the world. They were kind of neutral events that we put our own lens on. And the Stoics were really, really into tranquility. They tried to keep a baseline calm state. They called it ataraxia in a lot of the readings. And a way of having this ataraxia was to refrain from making constant judgments. Okay, and the third thing is this thing that they call the preferred indifference. And I touched a bit on it in the control test. So they say essentially money, health and reputation are out of our control. It's pretty scary for a lot of people to think that, you could end up bankrupt. You're definitely going to die and you probably will get ill. And your reputation, that's something that you can try your hardest to have a good reputation, but people can spread rumours or get things wrong. So all these things are out of our control. And once again, if we want to preserve our tranquility, the Stoics would say, recognise that those things are out of our control. Do not get too down or unhappy if you lose them, because you most certainly will lose them at some point in your life. Just keep that tranquil state. As per the control test, money, health and reputation are all essentially outside our control. And if we can cultivate indifference to them, we're less likely to become upset and waste energy trying to control them. So, without any fault of your own, you could lose your reputation, your job, your money, your house, maybe your marriage. You're certainly going to lose your looks as you age. And if you live long enough, you might lose mobility, cognitive ability and other aspects of your health. Accidents and illnesses happen all the time too and are also outside your control. And one thing the Stoics warned against, and why this is called a preferred indifference, is they warned against suffering twice. That is, you can't help but suffer. If you get ill or you get injured, that's out of your control. You can't do much about it. You've just got to wear it. But you can stop the suffering, the second suffering that comes from that, which is the anger or anxiety that comes from being sick or injured. They say illness or injury can happen to anyone, so there's no reason why it shouldn't happen to you. And anyway, death eventually comes for us all. So in order to avoid being too pained by these accruing losses, it's better to practice indifference to what you have in the first place. And that's it from me, Bridget Delaney, author of Reasons Not to Worry. Hope you buy it and hope you get a lot out of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bridget. That was Bridget Delaney with 5 big ideas from Reasons Not to Worry, How to Be Stoic in Chaotic Times. You might also enjoy our book bite for The Good Life Method, Reasoning Through the Big Questions of Happiness, Faith, and Meaning by Megan Sullivan and Paul Blaschko. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.